Hi there, I'm Janet Quinlan, and this is Finding Joy in Motherhood, the podcast for women who are looking for practical tools and words of encouragement to create an orderly, joyful, faith, and virtue-driven home. I'll share tips to create mindset shifts that change the way you discipline your children, love your husband, and enjoy your day. This podcast is about coaching women to be the best woman God is calling her to be. I'm so glad you're here. Hi, and welcome to episode number 180, Being Busy. Well, this past week, we celebrated the Feast of St. Martha. Poor Martha. She's doing her best to make sure Jesus and his friends are comfortable and have a great meal. And there's her sister Mary, just sitting there doing nothing. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, we read, "As they continued their journey, he entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary, who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening to him speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me.' The Lord said to her in reply, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her.'" Well, I don't know about you, but my heart goes out to Martha, working hard to create a beautiful home for our Lord, and yet being told by him that actually her sister is doing the better thing. Not actually caring about all the details of the visit, but just spending time with him. And immediately my type A personality wants to say, oh yeah, that's great for Mary, but what would everyone have to eat if it weren't for Martha? And maybe a little resentment kicks in about having to do all the work, even though she freely chose to do it. Yes, dinner had to be prepared. And there were certainly preparations for the group that needed to be made to host Jesus. I mean, it's Jesus. You don't pull out leftovers. But the message from our Lord is loud and clear. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part. Our Lord didn't say, forget about dinner, we don't need to eat. He commented on which was more important, spending time with him and the others, or being anxious about making sure everything was perfect in the details of meal prep and in hosting. And as important eating obviously is, spending time with God and family is more important. That really puts perspective on our choices, doesn't it? We live in a world now where everyone complains of being anxious, where the stress levels are super high with the adults and with the children. And there are a growing number of experts who are in agreement that well-intentioned parents are creating a generation of stressed, anxious children, thanks in part to their addiction to being busy. And you guessed it, the stresses and anxieties that come with being busy. We are overscheduled, overstructured, overstimulated, oversaturated, overemotional. And all of this excess, all of this busyness is creating a generation of anxious, stressed adults and children. Because stressed parents equals really stressed children. Anxious parents equals really anxious children. One of the pillars of a happy child is that they need to feel safe and secure. When we as parents neglect to give them safety and security because we're moving them from one thing to the next, we create anxious, unhappy children. In Kim John Payne's book, Simplicity Parenting, he speaks about a study that simplified the lives of children with ADD and found that within just 4 months, more than two-thirds of the children no longer had the challenging behaviors that caused so much disruption in their lives and in their family. In other words, As parents pack more and more busyness into their children's lives, they're actually making their children more stressed and anxious, less creative and calm, and more inclined to act out. I often wonder, why were there so few children described as anxious when I was raising children 20, 30 years ago? Why were there so few children diagnosed as ADD? I think it's because we didn't feel the need to be scheduled all the time. The social construct of the time was children just go out and play. They figured it out. There certainly weren't as many technological devices that the children could engage with. There weren't so many activities that we could sign them up for. There was more playtime, just wasting time with friends and siblings. And as parents of a large family, as were many of my friends, we just didn't have the bandwidth to have our children scheduled out in so many extracurricular activities. Sometimes, though, life is just too busy. We help the children understand the circumstances and how we're going to work through them. But busy needs to be temporary. Busy cannot be a state of life. When I was pregnant with our seventh, there were great concerns about my health, especially as we got closer to full term, which happened to be during soccer season here in St. Louis. We had five young children playing soccer each weekend. We loved the games, but it did exhaust us. And knowing that there was a very real chance that I was going to be hospitalized during soccer season, we told the children that this year we were going to have to take a break from soccer because we wanted to make sure that all went well with the new baby. None of my children complained. They all understood and hugged us their approval. And I did begin some complications in month 8. So we took the baby, number 7, a month early, and they were all delighted. The following year, when soccer registration started up again, only a few decided to play. From then on, we put restrictions on how many sports they could participate in, as well as the number of other extracurricular activities. And that way, we forced them to choose what was really important to them, not just choose everything. Just because a child wants to do something doesn't mean they must or they should. Each child is part of a family, and the family priorities should take precedence. And as the leaders of our home, we need to make the decisions about what works for our family life and what doesn't, not our children's wants and whims. With all the opportunities available for our children outside the home and the self-induced pressure we buy into of all the things our children need to do, we're running here and there, we're constantly in the car, we're grabbing dinner in the most efficient way, and we've lost the sense of personal connection with our children and our husband. We've lost the better part that Jesus spoke about. The calm, quiet, sitting with God and with our family and friends. We've traded what will nurture our hearts and minds with being busy. So I want to ask you, what is first priority in your life? What are you busy with? I would encourage you to stop this podcast and just do an examination of conscience. Where do you spend your time? Where does your family spend the collective family time? Are you too busy with extracurricular activities to have family time? Are your children on gaming systems so much that you don't even see them? And you might be thinking, but they're quiet. And I will tell you, but you're losing connection. What is the message that you're sending to your children in the way you structure your family life? What is most important? And who really suffers when you and your family are so busy? Actually, you all suffer. We're all about making eye contact with our newborns. And it is critical in bonding, in connection, in brain development, and confidence with the babies. But what changes after they're newborns? Do you think that your 4 or 8 or 13 or 17-year-old doesn't need eye contact anymore? Do you think you don't need eye contact anymore? Try to remember how your heart was filled when you held your children, when you looked into their eyes, when you saw them laugh and respond to things that you did. Your children still need to be seen and to know that they are seen by you. They still need the experiences of bonding, connection, and confidence that eye contact brings. And so do you. We all need it. We've lost humanness. We've lost the human connection. We're so busy, we don't slow down and really look at each other. We're not connecting, communicating, and loving, and showing our children and our spouse that they are important to us. So, what are the remedies? First, set goals. You and your husband sit down together and imagine what kind of family life you want in 5, 10, 20 years. How do you want your family time to be spent? Personally, within your marriage, and then as a family. The second thing is be brave to say no. Be brave with your children. I hear about mom guilt, and I never had mom guilt. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I never had mom guilt because I knew that my husband and I were the leaders of our children. And every decision that we made, and we made some decisions that I would probably make differently now, but every decision that we made out of love, respect, and forming our children. So be brave to say no. Schedule the downtime first. Make sure you have a meal together. I know in this day and age, sometimes it's the breakfast time. That's great. Have breakfast meal together. Most of us, it's dinner time. Schedule it. Make sure everyone is there. And if you have practices that interfere with it, move it around. Make it work. So schedule the downtime first. Schedule family time together on the weekends. I had friends who told me about their children going to this friend and that friend, and they were spending the night over here, and they never saw their kids. And they thought that was a good thing because their children had a lot of friends. But now, 20 years later, 25 years later, I see that they don't have a close family like we have. Because their children are off being friends with others instead of being friends with the family. Create a visual schedule of all family activities. Get one of those gigantic calendars that you can get at Office Max or Office Depot. I'm not even sure what it's called anymore. But get one of those giant calendars. I had one of those when the kids were young, and I put everything on the calendar so that I could see it, the children could see it, and it might be a wake-up call for you to see how much you are scheduled. Don't compare your life and your family life to those around you. Make the decisions for your family life. And for those of you with young children, have quiet time every day. Whether you want to say my children gave naps up at 2 or not, I would have a strong conversation with you, but that's another episode. They should have quiet time. Quiet time in their rooms. If they're not sleeping, fine. They can read books. They may have quiet toys, but schedule a couple of hours every day of quiet time for you, for them. Be vigilant about tech time. Come to an agreement with your husband to have user hours for all in the family. It has to apply to you and your husband as well. Have a basket where phones go when outside of user hours. And one time for sure is dinner. No phones at the dinner table. No one. Maybe no phones during the evening while the children are still up. Nothing is that important to take away from the very small time that you have as a family together. I would invite you to compare your screen time. Go into settings, look under screen time, see how much time. Ask your husband to do the same thing. See how much time you've spent on the phone, on your screen. and compare it to the time you have spent with your children. I am not anti-tech, but I am certainly a person who has seen how tech has harmed connection and relationships. Another remedy is unstructured playtime. It is absolutely necessary. Children need time to be bored so they can learn to solve the problem of being bored. Children who don't have unstructured playtime are always complaining to their parents that they're bored, and they depend on their parents to fix the problem. I had 7 children. I never had children who told me they were bored. Never. Because I didn't structure their time for them. They figured it out for themselves. We want children to become independent of their parents to solve their problems. And also children who don't have unstructured playtime, they lose the ability to self-soothe. They are prone to anxiety and stress and irritability because they don't know how to solve their problems. We keep them in the childhood state rather than our job, which is to raise adults. When you think about it, we're not raising children. You don't want a child at 22. You want an adult. We're raising adults. Make this week the week you set goals and make changes to put relationships and time together first priority in your life. Stop being anxious, worried, and burdened about many things. Spend time with our Lord each day. Spend time with your husband and children each day. That is the better part. Have a great week. Take care. Do you have a life coach who helps you be the woman you want to be? The woman God has called you to be? Who helps you sort through your marriage or parenting difficulties and helps you create the mindset you need to embrace your vocation with joy and gratitude? If you're looking for a coach, I would be so honored to help you. Email me at Janet@findingjoyinmotherhood.com.